In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 17th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Easter is the victory of life over death, the triumph of God over sin, death, and the devil. It is where we are heading. It is our goal. It is our end. It is our everything. Lent is the penitential journey to the cross and then to the empty tomb. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of fasting. It's a time of reflection on who God is for us and for our salvation. And it begins this Wednesday, post-feast of Transfiguration. And today, this Feast of Transfiguration, we realize why we're going on the journey in the first place. Today, we are given a glimpse of the end, a taste of the victory promised to us, all in the person and work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we see Him just for a moment, as He really is. We see His face shining like the sun, His clothes white as light. We hear Moses and Elijah in conversation, which is to say that the Old Testament, the Law, the Prophets, have always been talking about Jesus, pointing to Jesus. They are the shadow of the reality who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Peter's first thought was that this was all pretty cool. It is good, Lord, to be here. That is, we should stay put. This is our end. This is what it is all about. Peter's dreams, in a sense, have come true. And Peter, a man of action, instantly had it all figured out. Or so he thought. Three tents, Jesus. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. James, John, and myself. We'll just go from one tent to the next. But in truth, Peter didn't quite get it. In fact, even when he gets it, he doesn't quite get it. Just before going up the mountain, remember, Jesus asks the 12 who the Son of Man is, to which Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And commending Peter for his confession, revealed to him by the Father, Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things, that he must be handed over to the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised again. And Peter, who had a different idea of what it meant to be the Christ, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall never happen to you." Peter didn't get it. Here too, we saw three heroes of faith whose only real difference was time and place. He saw this mountain as a safe sort of retreat. He remembered the glory of Moses, whose face shone like the sun, and Elijah, whose flashing chariot of fire brought him to the glory of heaven. And Peter remembered the glory, but not the cross. And so, amidst Peter's great and glorious plans, the Father brought it all to a screeching halt. Peter was speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud rang out, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In essence, wake up, Peter! Quit trying to have Christ apart from his cross. The Christian life, it isn't easy, you know. And the road ahead is full of suffering. Even if you do everything right, which you won't, but even if you are the best parents who faithfully raise your children in the faith, who's to say that they won't reject the Lord in the end? Even if you fast and pray, remember Job. Even if you are kind and winsome and full of energy, your church might never grow. Even if you do everything right, which you won't, being a disciple of Christ still requires the cross. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's how it is with Jesus. Thanks be to God, then, that our Lord knows our weakness. He knows that we'd never go the way of the cross without getting a glimpse of the end. He knows how weak our faith is, how easy it is to turn aside, to call it quits. Even Peter, James, John, the greatest of the apostles, who left the house and home to follow Christ, even they needed to see Christ, if only for a moment, as he really is. Light of light, very God of very God. And now, seeing this transfigured Christ and hearing the Father's command, listen to him. Listen to him when he tells you of his suffering, dying, and rising. Hearing this, they were rightly terrified. Terrified. This fear is more than just fear, okay? It's dread, but more than dread still. It's here we have fear and terror of inward shuddering, such as has not been the most of the menacing, overpowering enemies that create and instill things in you. For here they stood before something truly awful, or better yet, awesome. They peered into the mystery of God. They stood in his presence, and they did not die. It was so overwhelming that they fell to the ground and covered their eyes. But notice what our Lord does. Having revealed his glory, a glory that casts men to the ground, he stoops down to them. He touches them. He says, "Rise and have no fear." That's the absolution, forgiveness, a taste of life from death. It's the seraphim touching Isaiah's lips with a burning coal from the altar of incense, making him clean. It's Moses' putting a veil over his face so that the people could hear the Lord's word from his own lips. It's Elijah ascending to heaven but casting down the cloak for Elisha to preach the prophetic word. And by the touch, by the word of Christ, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Dear saints of the living God, may it be so for you as well, that as you realize who you are, full of sin and shame, and as you come to know in whose presence you stand, the King of heaven, the Lord of heaven and earth, and when it dawns on you that you are not dead and brought to nothing, but that same Lord Jesus reaches out, touches you, and says, "Rise, have no fear. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." May you too see no one but Jesus only. Jesus in the bread and wine. Jesus in the preached word in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus in your baptized brother or sister in Christ, gathered in this church to which he calls us as one body. See Jesus only, the Son of Man, the crucified, who was dead but is alive again. In him, the shame of the cross has become the very glory of God. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. For Easter is the victory of life over death, the triumph of God over sin, death, and the devil. It is our goal. It is our end. It is everything. And Lent is the penitential journey to the cross and then the empty tomb. It is a time of prayer. It is a time for fasting. It is a time to reflect on who God is for us and our salvation. And today, the Feast of Transfiguration is the day we realize why we are going on the journey in the first place. We go because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you belong to him. Amen.